You're listening to the inner monologue of Dim Tillard.
Who? Never heard of him.
Who's this guy?
I ain't nobody.
Now here is Dim Tillard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the number one most unneeded podcast. It's the inner monologue of Dim Tillard, and I'm your host, professional baseball player, amateur podcaster, and aspiring time waster, Tim Dillard. And, you know, it amazes me every time. Every time I drop an episode, I still can't believe that I'm allowed to have my very own podcast. I mean, sure, anybody who has access to the World Wide Web, who's semi-literate and severely unemployed, can have their very own podcast too. But yeah, not sure where I was going with that. If you've listened to this podcast before, then you know just how awesome it is and how it provides and promises nothing of real value or importance. And that I can guarantee. But to my first time listeners checking out this podcast for the very first time, I want to start out by saying welcome and thank you. And also,
yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
For real, what took you so long to listen to my podcast and get on board? Was it because you were too busy reading and skimming through all those wholesome and uplifting news stories out there? Insert vomit emoji. No, break away from all of that garbage by listening and sharing this pointless podcast, knowing there's nothing to learn here or to think about.
Free your mind.
Yes, I love movies. You probably already noticed that from all these illegally ripped sound clips I stole from YouTube, but I love movies and I love going to the movie theater. For me, just the idea of being able to escape to some time or place for 2 hours is my jam. That's where I have the most fun. And being a baseball player for the last 18 years, I've been able to visit theaters all over the country and see movies with teammates from all over the world. I usually catch at least a baker's dozen worth of movies at the cinema throughout a typical year. However, this has not been a typical year. It's 2020. That's 2020, or as I like to call it,
cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, hopeless, heartless, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey. Hallelujah! Where's the Tylenol?
But this week, I actually took my kids to the movie theater and watched a re-release of Hocus Pocus, classic, which Hocus Pocus could be its own case study as the typical 90s PG movie that would and could only be PG-13 nowadays. But as I counted the number of times the word virgin was referenced, I reached into my jacket, pulled out a batch of homemade cookies, and thought, my podcast needs a segment about movies. And here it is.
Movie Stub Memories with Dim Tillard.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Are you not entertained?
I love scotch. I love scotch.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. I have this plastic movie popcorn container that contains over 400 ticket stubs from movies I've seen dating back to 1999. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach in here and I'm going to pull one out and see if I can remember anything about that movie going experience. Ready? Of course you are. Why would, anyway, it's figure of speech. Here we go. See, shaking it up, big plastic popcorn thing. And let's see who's first up. All right. Avengers, May 9th, 2012. I saw it at the Brookfield Majestic in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I remember all the other screenings were sold out, so I had to see it in 3D. But, I mean, Avengers is a great superhero movie. It's way better not in 3D. All right, here we go. Next up, we have Pirates of the Caribbean. Saw it August 6th, 2003. At the Arizona Mills Mall in Tempe, Arizona, 2003. This means it's probably the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. It says I went at 9:45 in the morning, so pretty sure I was by myself watching that one. All right, let's go again. Yeah, John Wick, Chapter 2, May 11th, 2017, and it was at the Citadel Dollar Theater in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It says I bought the ticket at 4:46 p.m. and the movie didn't start till 5:15. Only thing I can think is when you're going to go watch Keanu Reeves invent new ways to kill people, you go early to get the best seat. All right, next one up. Twilight Saga, breaking something. Not sure which number this is in the whole Twilight universe, but my wife picked it out and we saw it November 22nd, 2012 in Oxford, Mississippi at the Malco. And I can say with certainty that I definitely pretended not to want to see this movie, just to be clear on that. Moving right along. Ooh, good one. Spider-Man 2. Let me see. It's hard to make out. Saw it June 30th, 2004. So it was the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. It was at the CEC Mall Theater in Burlington, Iowa. Yeah, I remember we were on a road trip. Half the team, half of the 2004 Beloit Snappers went to this movie, and we had an awesome time. And I mean, it was probably the best superhero movie, probably until Iron Man came out in 2008. So yeah, that was a good one. I remember that one. All right, shake it up, draw one out. Next up we have this one's really faded, but it's the Blair Witch Project. Remember the Blair Witch Project? Yeah, it's like a handheld camera shaking everywhere. Well, I saw it August 9th, 1999, and was the first movie I went to after losing all my previous movie stubs when my house burned down. But anyway, nobody was hurt. But my best friend in high school picked me up at the hotel my family was staying at in Tupelo, Mississippi. And we went to see the Blair Witch Project, which was an incredibly nice gesture. But when we got to the Cinemark Theater, it was packed. And the only available seats were right up front to the left. So basically, we fought off seizures for the better part of 80 minutes. And I don't think I've seen it since. Memories. Follow me on this journey. All right. Next is Iron Man 3. Saw it May 2nd, 2013. Looks like I saw an IMAX. Yay. At the AMC First Colony 24 in Sugar Land, Texas. I remember this. Myself and two other pitchers on the team took the hotel shuttle to the theater, but we couldn't get a ride back to the hotel. So we walked a little over 2 miles, probably sweating out popcorn and Reese's. Totally worth it. All right. Let's do one more because this is not a very good... I thought this would be better, but whatever. Okay, last one. I can't read. Hold on. It says Tortugas Ninjas. Tortugas Ninjas. Okay, October 16th, 2014, I was playing winter ball in Maracaibo, Venezuela. And I went to the mall to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the reboot. And I remember, being really excited. The only problem was the film was entirely in Spanish and there were no subtitles whatsoever. So I really didn't exactly know what was going on, but I remember just waiting for all the little kids in the theater to laugh out loud. And when they did, I would laugh out loud because I didn't want to embarrass myself and look like an idiot. But I later saw the Ninja Turtles reboot in English and it wasn't as good.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, my special guest this week is Philadelphia Phillies athletic trainer Aaron Hoback. But we call him Red because he's got a big red beard. So Red was my trainer in the Milwaukee Brewers organization for a number of years in the AAA Pacific Coast League. He actually loves movies too, probably as much as I do, and always has a movie playing in the training room, which inevitably led to the birth of many of my social media videos where I act out scenes from movies with teammates. And if you've seen any of those videos that I've made, then chances are you've seen Red. So let's get to know Aaron Hoback.
Aaron.
In a little segment I like to call
Conversations with Dim Tillard.
Does number two work for?
Ask me about my...
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You look like you're hunkered in a basement.
In my garage.
Oh. Is it cold there? Yeah, you got a beanie on. Who wears a beanie?
Yeah. Hang on. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. We have a good connection.
Yeah. I turned my internet off.
Running on...
Straight cell.
Oh, straight cell? All right. My bad. Unlimited data, or what do you got?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How's it going, man? I feel like we talk all the time, but we don't ever like talk on the phone.
Yeah, I know. It's going, you know, back home chilling. Yeah, it did get cold here over the last like 24 hours. It was like 85 yesterday, and it's like 55, 60 today.
Well, I see you have your Yeti with a Dim Tillard logo on it. What you got in there?
Just coffee.
Just coffee? Okay.
Yeah, it's too early. It's not 5 o'clock yet.
Yeah, it's not like Russia cold. You got vodka in there or something?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's awesome. When I was thinking about doing a podcast in quarantine, I hit you up pretty early on because I thought I need to have you on here. Not only because, you know, I feel like we've become such good friends over the last, 10 years maybe, but the fact that we're almost the same age.
Yeah, no kidding.
And we're doing the baseball life. And it's I don't know. I think you just gravitate towards, you know, the people that grew up the same way because we actually have some reference points. I make jokes in the clubhouse now and nobody knows what I'm talking about except for the trainers. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel kind of the same way. Like I tried to bring the movies over to Philadelphia.
Ooh.
And a lot of the young kids come into the training room and they're like, "What movie is this?" I'm like, "Top Gun. Have you not seen it?"
They're like, "Oh yeah, there's a new one coming out. It's called Topper Gun." It's like, "No, that's wrong."
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's the last couple of years we were together, you could definitely start to see the change. We're getting a little more gray hairs.
Oh, speak for yourself, man. I dye that stuff. I just for dim it. Yeah, Philadelphia Philly. You were with the Brewers for how long?
13 years.
And then this is your first full season, pandemic season, with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, first quarter season, if you will.
Quarter season, yeah. Tough quarter, though. Tough quarter.
Yeah. We were talking about right before we left or, you know, got out of Philly was, you know, it was – a quarter of a season, but it felt like five all wrapped in one with the first spring training and then the quarantine and then second spring training and then the 60 games mashed up and then the hoopla that we had to go through with the Miami Marlins testing positive and then us having to go through all the protocols and testing and all that and then kind of try and jam 55 games in 50 days or whatever it was. Felt like we're playing a doubleheader about every third day.
Yeah, it reminds you of Colorado Springs a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. I know. That's why I was like, yeah, this kind of feels like the PCL right here.
Yeah. Pacific Coast League.
Bad travel and doubleheaders every other day.
Yeah, but the postgame spread was probably way better.
Well, I tell you what, I kept my weight down this year because everything's so limited as far as having to have pre-made meals and all that stuff. Obviously, they were really good, but
yeah.
Having all the pre-made meals and everything being so restricted this year, it was tough to keep the weight on, even though that's not a problem for me.
They're making the trainers ration. That's unbelievable. I do that anyway, just because I want to keep my figure.
The tough part was trying to find a spot to hide out and take my mask off and take a sip of coffee. Cause you know me, I got a coffee in my hand pretty much 24/7.
Yeah, there's only one person that drinks more coffee than you. It's me. Just try me. I mean, to deal with this season, you know, is this what you signed up for? Did you ever think in a million years that you being an athletic trainer would have to jump through the hoops that you did this season?
No, I heard it said a few times this year that we didn't really sign up to be public health officials. Obviously, we all know that going into the health field that we – could potentially at some point be put in this situation. But obviously we never really thought that we would be doing so much general practice medicine in one season, especially all the protocols and paperwork and dealing with the Department of Health and all this stuff that we basically never do. So it was new for all of us and we were all trying to kind of learn on the fly.
Well, I figured you already mastered it. If you look on your Twitter, which that's what I always do before I have a guest on here. I look at their Twitter, but I see your Twitter all the time. But I had to write these down because it's a lot. All right. You know, under the bio, you have all these abbreviations like NASM. What is that?
National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Okay, so you have some sort of degree in that. That's what these are, right? These are all degrees or certifications?
Yeah, a lot of them are just certifications. Like the National Academy of Sports Medicine, they have a corrective exercise specialist and a performance enhancement specialist.
Oh, that's the CES and the PES?
Yeah.
All right, what about TPI? What's TPI?
That's the Tight List Performance Institute. So that's the golf. A lot of the assessment programs that we run were based off TPI and functional movement screens. Mm-hmm. Dr. Greg Rose, who runs the TPI program, is big into FMS. So I figured I'd branch out a little bit and get a different perspective on assessing human movement.
Sure. Well, you keep branching because that brings up FMS. What is that?
Well, as you know from personal experience, the functional movement screen is it's an assessment program that we run basically a few times a year to gauge where guys are at from a movement standpoint. It's a very generic assessment that we run to kind of help us dive a little bit deeper on dysfunctional movement patterns and then use other assessment tools once we figure out where we want to head.
I did really good on that one.
I was just about to say you were probably top tier, top five every year.
Yeah.
Even being the old man that you were.
Hey.
Towards the end.
Yeah. I got like a 19 out of a possible 21 or score, yes. Or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't teach that.
Yeah. You just have it. I know Brent Suter's the only person that ever beat me, like by a lot.
Yeah. Suter was, he's a freak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. In more ways than one.
All right. Let's go to MoveNat Certified. So I assume that stands for movement, natural movement.
Yeah, it's natural movement. Myself and my partner in crime for so many years with you, Andrew Emick, my strength coach, decided to go take a course with this company called MoveNat. They do a lot of natural movements. They basically take it back to the old school primitive movements with crawling, walking, jumping, landing, you name it. They basically teach you from the ground up. One of our instructors was a 15-year Navy SEAL instructor vet. So he didn't mess around in our class, basically teaching us a lot of the basic calisthenics that they teach a lot of the Navy SEALs, from crawling under stuff, picking up objects, jumping, basically teaches you how to become a human again, because a lot of us sit behind computers or on buses or planes or whatever all day long. And
yeah, hold on, I'm getting a text on my computer. Hold on. I'm just kidding. I'm behind a computer right now. Crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. What about MCT? I'm seeing MCT. I don't know what that is.
MCT?
Yeah. M as in matchbook.
I got to look at my Twitter. That's the MoveNat Certified Trainer, MCT.
Okay. Oh, that coincides with that one. All right. Yeah. We're going with FDM. What is FDM?
Oh, that's the fascial distortion model.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
When you see or hear guys screaming in the training room. Whenever we're doing some fascial manipulations on them, a lot of times that's the training, the hands-on training that we get.
That sounds awful. CKTP.
That's the Certified Kinesiotaping Practitioner.
Oh yeah, so, kinesiotape. I like that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the majority of the time that I use this for the bumps and bruises and guys get hit by pitches and stuff like that. That makes cool patterns.
It does. You've patched me up a few times. All right, what about TMA? Actually, I wrote that one, TMA. I made up my own abbreviation. TMA stands for too many abbreviations. You got to cut down on your abbreviations, man. But it just shows your dedication to what you're doing. I remember the first time when you were talking about, like, you took a class in the off season. I was like, what? I was like, what are you doing? But you were bettering yourself to help out the guys in the clubhouse, help you out, and look for things to do in the future.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the younger trainers over with the Phillies this year. And I was telling him, you know, my first few years when I was coming up, I was, you know, moving through the system so much that I never really had time to catch my breath and get used to being in one setting for very long. But once I got up to AA and AAA, I spent 3 years in AA and then 7 years in the beautiful Pacific Coast League. So I pretty much had everything down pat, and it was just kind of going by muscle memory after a couple of years. So I wanted to keep my brain sharp and my skills going, and felt like just taking at least a course or two every off season kind of helped me help not make it as stale as it could be, you know, because grind it in the minor leagues, you know, 16 years, things can get a little monotonous. So
yeah,
just had to keep it lively from the Instagram videos with you to the educational courses in the off season.
My stuff actually has a purpose. Your stuff just seems pointless.
Frivolous.
Frivolous. Yeah. We always say, if you don't, if you don't like the movie Groundhog Day, you're probably not going to like professional baseball.
Yeah, and that was more true this year than any year.
Yeah, and most people don't get that reference.
There is something so familiar about this.
Hmm?
Do you ever have deja vu?
Didn't you just ask me that?
When did you know that you wanted to be an athletic trainer? Did you try to do something else and you're like, ah, screw it, I'm going to do this? Or you were like, no, man, this is what I'm going for?
Well, I wanted to get into medicine. I actually started pre-vet.
That's the one for kids, right?
The hairy kids.
Yeah. Dogs, cats, yeah.
And then I was talking to my counselor, and he said the dropout rate was like 70%. So I was like, I'm good. I don't need to spend $200,000 and flunk out or drop out. So.
Aw, the poor pets.
I went and got my EMT license. So I was an EMT for 4 years. Worked on an ambulance with a private company around the St. Louis area, and then was obviously always big in the sports. So kind of started dipping my toe in the water of the sports medicine stuff, and then got in good with a couple of really good graduate assistants, which one of my graduate assistants just got an assistant athletic trainer job for the Miami Marlins. So he and I actually spent opening day together our first year in the big leagues, which was a really cool experience.
That is.
Obviously, it wasn't the way we wanted it, but it worked out well.
Yeah, probably could have been nice to have fans.
Yeah, and the family there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was probably a year and a half into my college career that I figured out I wanted to go into sports medicine.
Well, I appreciate it. And I know there's probably hundreds of other athletes that appreciate it as well. But now you're with the Philadelphia Phillies in the big leagues. And all I got to ask you is, who's the most famous phone number you have in your phone?
I mean, if we're talking like Twitter followers and Instagram followers, it's probably Tim Dillard. I mean,
oh yeah. No. This is implied. Yeah. Besides me. I mean, Phillies, they have some people. They got Joe Girardi. Do you have Joe Girardi's phone number?
I do. Let's just say I have all the coaching staff and all the players in my phone. So
you have Bryce Harper's phone number.
I mean, they've got different names. Let's just put it that way.
Oh
yeah. If you see Homer Simpson, we all know who that is.
I'm so talented and good looking. Woo-hoo!
That's awesome. Who is, what's my name in your phone?
I mean, it's either Sasquatch. You got a couple of nicknames in there. Dim Tillard.
Yeah, Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, no, that's Jim Henderson.
Oh, Jim. Oh, yeah. I see what you're doing there. Well, what if you forget? Oh, what about Andrew McCutchen? What's Andrew McCutchen's name?
I mean, you obviously got to go with Cutch.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if I steal your phone, I have access to all this.
Yeah, our beards are different, so it won't allow you to get in with the facial recognition.
I can dye it red. That's why they call you Red. I'll just go to the local Walgreens and find the shade of red that will get me into your phone. How cool is Andrew McCutchen? I feel like me and him would be best friends. Would we be best friends instantly?
Yeah. You know what? Going into this year with the Phillies, Cutch has always been one of my favorite players to watch. And getting to meet him, I fanned out. I turned into a little bit of a fanboy when I first met him. I told him, I was like, you know what? Of all the people that I'm going to get to work with this year, I look forward to working with him the most, just because I could tell from afar that he was seemed like he was going to be a good dude, and he lived up to the expectations for sure. He's a good human. You guys are definitely cut from the same cloth. I tell you what, he's a good follow on the socials. He's very educational when it comes to Negro League information and some of the old athletes that played in that realm. I learn something new every time he puts a post up of some of the old players. I really enjoy watching him do some of that stuff.
No, I felt really bad when I struck him out in 2011. I'm sure y'all talked about that, but he came back and hit a 2-run double off of me in 2012, but I would still be his friend because I've heard nothing but awesome things. Well, that's cool, man. You got everybody's phone number. Well, what about cheesesteaks, right? You can't be in Philly without eating cheesesteaks.
Yeah. I tell you what, no offense to the local establishments there, but our team chef made some of the best cheesesteaks that I tried there. Hmm. Yeah, he knocked it out of the park, no pun intended.
That was so corny.
Cheese whiz. You gotta go cheese whiz.
Yeah, not as much cheese whiz as that cliche you threw out there. No, they're famous. They're the ones in the visiting clubhouse are just as good. Like the chefs they have over there, they kill it, man. I ate like three or four during the playoffs in 2008. I wasn't on the roster, but I was in the clubhouse just watching it on TV, and I thought, well, I'll just get a rally cheesesteak every couple of innings. And so
well, that was back in the that was just you were coming off Fat Tim then. So
yeah hey, keep that down, man. There's only a few people on the planet that remember and I say chubby Dillard. I had a catcher that called me Thunder Thighs. I don't really know what that means, but
yeah. Walker Burley, he acts like he was the first person to have tight pants on. Uh-oh. And they obviously haven't seen the Beloit Snappers card of Tim Dillard.
Everybody's looking at my tight pants. I got my tight pants. I got my tight pants on.
Well, I told you, I contacted Google and had all those images taken down, so nobody knows that exists. But yes, I used to be 265. Not a big deal. And yes, cheesesteaks are awesome. Okay, so you got to visit a lot of the major league parks. Is there one that you hadn't been to that is like your new favorite?
We were limited to the Eastern teams, the Eastern Division teams, both NL and AL this year. So I wouldn't say we had a wide variety of fields we went to, but I would say that surprisingly, I'd judge it based on like the interior of where we're working at. Oh, okay. I wasn't too disappointed with Tampa, the Trop. Everybody gives it such a bad rap because it's an older stadium. But as far as the setup and the clubbies and everything, that's kind of how I base it. But obviously going to Fenway and Yankee Stadium, those are iconic. So Fenway was cool to be in the nostalgia. Obviously after about a week of being there, I could see how it would get old just because it's kind of outdated. But it is definitely a cool park to go to.
Well, what about Pacific Coast League? When you're in AAA, what city did you like to go to the most?
City?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Nashville. Being in Nashville was outstanding. It's Nashville. That's a big league city. Don't kid yourself. Like, there's so much to do there. And I obviously my family's from there and I live not too far from there. So
yeah.
I'm biased when it comes to that, but there's a couple sleeper cities in that league. Des Moines, Iowa. Don't sleep on Des Moines, Iowa. Ooh. There's a lot to do there.
Ah, yes. Des Moines. Mm.
Yeah. I'm a runner, so I like to go running around some of the cool trails. And obviously, Des Moines had a couple sneaky good trails to run. And Colorado Springs is a great outdoorsy area. It's not very conducive for baseball, but
yeah.
It's great hiking and trail running and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, me and you were kind of the same, right? We go into a city, you go run the trails, and I would go eat a zombie burger in Des Moines. So same exact thing.
I would eat, but I would have to run before I go eat. So I don't turn into chubby Dillard.
Yeah. I played for the tie. I just walked a couple miles there myself from the hotel and then walked back. So I'm like, that's probably the same thing. How many calories would I burn walking 2 miles? Just
ballpark.
Couple hundred. All right, average zombie burger meal.
700 calories. Because you got to throw in the chocolate shake.
Golly, I'm thirsty now. Okay, you've been to all these places. You have all this experience. You've been grinding all these years. How about sharing some tips for upcoming athletes about health and staying healthy and future athletic trainers and just tips for overall health, you know, just your kind of expertise on that?
Well, I'd say from an athlete's perspective, enjoy the ride. Like a lot of these guys, I don't know what the attrition rate is in the minor leagues. It's, you know, not everybody's going to make it to the big leagues. So as you're going through your career and in your time in the minor leagues, and a lot of these guys like solely focused on getting to the big leagues, like sometimes they forget how fun it can be in the minor leagues. I believe everything is what you make of it. Obviously, having been in the minor leagues for 13 years, we tried to make the best of it, every opportunity that we had, yourself included, and getting to know your teammates and becoming friends with them. I always told the young athletes, there's a couple people as you're coming up that you need to learn their names and take care of them. It's one's your clubby, because they're washing your jock strap and taking care of you and doing everything behind the scenes for you.
You know, you're actually in a lot of my funny videos holding a jock strap. So
as well as your medical staff and your trainers, because, you know, when you're away from home, you're away from your loved ones, your mom and dad and wives and kids and everything, that they're the person that's going to be there in an emergency, or they're the person that's going to be there when the stuff hits the fan. Like, they're the first person that you're going to call, or your family's going to call. So getting to know them and getting a good relationship with them always helps along the way. As far as the health of the athletes, a lot of these kids these days, try and be as versatile as you possibly can. Playing one sport is not going to do you any good. That's one thing I always tell the parents whenever they ask me, you know, what's one thing I can do for my kid is give them as many opportunities to do a variety of exercises or games or programs that they can possibly do, i.e. some of the MoveNat stuff that I got involved in, is just people how to become human again and move around and not just throw a baseball or not just swing a bat. It'll make them a more well-rounded athlete in the long run and healthier as well. Once they get done playing, they can take that into their everyday lives. For the young athletic trainers, stay the course. Obviously, I spent 13 years in the minor leagues. You see some of these folks coming straight in from outside sources, going straight to the big leagues. Like, it doesn't happen that way for everybody. Obviously, I came in a little bit different of a time period where you kind of had to put your dues in and work your way up. It's the game's changed a little bit in that aspect, where they're starting to go into the private sector and get individuals, not only from a coaching standpoint, but a medical standpoint too. But if you are somebody who comes in at the lower levels, make sure you continue with your education, continue learning from some of the older athletic trainers, because they've been there, done that. Like I said, I've been in this game for 15 years now, and I'm still learning from even the young athletic trainers, because they're coming in with new knowledge in the medical field. It's changing every 5 years. We basically have to learn something new. That's why I have so many freaking letters behind my name, because there's so many new things coming out, and you got to keep up. So making sure that you continue with your education, continue to learn from some of the other athletic trainers, your peers. They're going to be some of your best advocates. And then also get to know the front office and coaches as well, because you're going to be, you're their battery mates. You're going to be working with them day in and day out. So developing a good relationship with your coaching staff and the front office helps out a ton, especially when it comes time to move up in the world of baseball. You're going to need as many helping hands as you can possibly get. And then from a general health perspective, you know, I was kind of in the same boat as you. I won't say I was 260, but with the family history of diabetes and whatnot, and myself sitting behind the books in college, I tended to get a little puffy myself, but kicking it in the butt a little bit once I got going in the minor leagues and got a little time to myself. Trying to stay healthy, picking up as many hobbies as I could, you know, running, working out. Those are kind of my stress relievers at this point. Obviously, you and I have sat down and played guitar together, ukulele, and had a couple beverages. But picking up as many good hobbies, healthy hobbies, as you possibly can. Nowadays, just following the simple rules, like we try to explain to our guys, we're in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, so just washing your hands, wearing a mask, and staying socially distanced whenever you're out in public is probably the best thing you can do for yourself and your family. Those are pretty simple things that each and every one of us can do. But just picking up good hobbies, from either going on a bike ride with yourself, your kids, your loved ones, or going for a walk. I think this quarantine, actually, not only did it help out people getting out and getting us back into like the 80s and 90s mindset as far as just hanging out with family, I think it helped the dogs a lot too, because they got to go on more walks than they have ever gotten to go on in the last probably 15 years.
Yep. Still a veterinarian at heart. Yeah. I think one thing that's great is that you know, you just said, you know, take advantage of whatever you're doing, make the most out of it. And, you know, you can sit there and, you know, you're quarantined and like, oh my goodness, but something positive can come out of that. That's what happened with this podcast. That's
yeah.
Much joy to the world, because I know that you've listened to all my episodes. So that's just,
you can obviously tell that we've been hanging out way too long, because during the quarantine, what's the first thing I wanted to do? I started making videos.
Yeah, you did. And you were sending them to me.
I know.
And your editing skills are awesome, man. They're top notch.
That was another one of my little hobbies, with photography and the video stuff. Just I picked up from you over the years.
Yeah, I love the photography. You took several pictures of me upon request, which I appreciate.
Yep.
But I think I agree with you. I think that you do have to have some sort of outlet, whatever that is. You can do whatever your job is, but you got to have some sort of hobby, some sort of outlet. And to me, it's for, you know, your physical well-being and also your mental well-being. And so I don't know, man. I picked up those tips in pro ball years ago. So as far as the quarantine or me hanging out, I've never been bored a day in my life. And And yeah, I got that. I got that from sitting around a clubhouse one day, you know, however many, you know, decade and a half ago, and realized I can't just sit here and I got to do something, you know, like I'm gonna refuse to be bored. And so I just start doing things.
Yeah. You know, time is what you make of it. Like in baseball, you basically sit around, you hurry up and wait. So you're doing a lot of sitting around, and if you can pick up a hobby, whether it's, you know, I know some guys start reading books, or other guys will start going on, you know, walks in the mornings. There's a lot of guys that would just walk out and go get coffee, and that was one of their hobbies. They'd go sit on their phone and do whatever, journal or do something fun like that. But I think working with you over the last whatever many years we were together, that the videos, some of the videos that we would get together and make, like I found that to be some of the funnest time. Obviously, when I wasn't working my butt off.
Yeah, yeah. Your boss is listening to this because he might be listening to my podcast. You actually got all your work done. This was on borrowed time this was leisure time. Leisure time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you know this or not, but I actually did some rough numbers and estimates. You have the most Dim Tillard video appearances to date.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that's not even counting all the times that you filmed.
yeah, exactly. Like you can probably double that with the filming.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is whenever I first came over in Clearwater down in spring training, I was talking to some people and they were asking me, you know, my background and stuff. And first thing I said, you know, I was with the Brewers for so many years, and they were like, "Oh, do you know Tim Dillard?" I said, Yes, I know Tim. Like me and Tim were together for a number of years.
Was it Bryce?
Oh man, he's got some great videos. Like he's hilarious. I'm like, well, go on there and watch about half of them and see if you
look for the red beard.
Yeah, see if you notice a red beard. The guys would come back the next day and be like, dude, I sat there for 2 hours watching videos last night, and they're like, they were hilarious.
The rabbit hole. Yeah, man, yeah. You're getting me followers. Yeah, I got to start paying you an agent's salary.
Yeah, finder's fee.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I was going through all the videos, kind of looking to see which ones that you were in and the ones that, you know, that we had, and you were in almost all of them for like 4 years straight. So
yeah,
I decided that we would play a little game. You want to play a game?
Oh boy, sure.
Yes, we're going to play a game. It's called Remember That Video. And I'm going to put a little, you know, intro music, like, I don't know what I'll do, but we're going to call it Remember That Video. So I'm going to go first and then you're going to go next.
Remember That Video with Dim Tillard.
Oh, oh. Remember.
You remember that video?
All right. Do you remember that video where I made Slimer from Ghostbusters out of gum? And I brought it into your office. I was filming it and you took it out of my hand and threw it.
I do.
Okay.
I do. I remember it for a number of reasons. One, it's my son's favorite video that you made because he loves Slimer, and that introduced him to the Ghostbusters song.
Nice.
So he, every time he hears that song, he's like, "Hey dad, this is the song where you threw the ghost."
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other reason I remember it is because, hopefully we can edit this part out, but we dented their dry erase board whenever I threw it.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, don't you remember? I chucked it and it hit the dry erase board and it dented the dry erase board.
Well, I know. Yeah, we were in Oklahoma City. No, I just was worried about my Slimer. It took me all game to make that. I mean, I was not going to play that game. I wasn't active, so I just made Slimer out of gum and you threw it. And so I was checking on Slimer. I didn't care two craps about the marker board that you broke.
That thing was rock hard.
It wasn't as squishy as you'd think. I put a lot of pieces of gum in that. Okay, your turn.
One of my favorite ones that we made, there was three of us riding on inflatable horses.
Yes, I remember this one very well because it was almost a year before we did it that you actually brought it up. This was your idea. And we went,
I think it might have been Drew's idea. I'll give him credit for that.
No, he's not on this podcast. It's not him. It's your idea. But yes, three amigos, and we needed those inflatable horses from a ballpark that has the in-between innings where they do the you know, jumping on the horse thing. And I remember wherever we went one time, all the horses were like deflated. And we finally went to New Orleans and we had to shoot it. Yeah, that was awesome. That was actually really hard to ride one of those inflatable horses. They're actually kind of quite heavy.
Surprisingly hard, and it was really hot that day.
It was scalding hot. It was like 99 with 100% humidity, which I guess that would be raining, but it was hot. No, I remember that one for sure. That was a great one. That might be one of the better ones we've ever done. We are the three of us. Unless,
yeah, that was a good.
Do you remember that video where I was in the bathroom trying to sell Old Spice and you were in the bathroom stall?
That's why I use this Old Spice Pro Strength, the finest street legal antiperspirant you can get outside of Mexico that's not poisonous.
I do. That was in Nashville.
Yeah.
I remember one of the funnier things about it was you're like, hey, can you look over this stall right here? And me being as wanting to make it as realistic as possible, I said, yeah, do you want me to pull my pants down? And so I pulled my shorts down over my ankle.
What's funny is that was, it's your fault for getting to the field that early, right? All this stuff that we do, we make these videos before anybody else gets to the field because they want to just kind of come later, you know, like, oh, I just want to get to the field and then, you know, get ready for practice. Like, nah, man, we're there like 2 hours early before anybody else. That's when we get the prime video making time. Yeah.
Well, side note, again, back to the hobbies thing. One of my hobbies over the last couple of years in the PCO I wanted to run every stadium in that league.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get to the field early, run the stadiums, get my workout in, and then you would happen to be there and then catch me as I'm either coming off my run or getting out of the shower.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Make some videos.
That sounds incredibly, intrusive. I apologize. I mean, we could go on for days, but we're not because I respect your time. but I also want to play one more game. You got time for one more game?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got the same spirit animal, as it were. We were 80s, 90s kids. So I want to play a game called Childhood Favorites. Will you play this game with me?
Sure.
Childhood Favorites with Dim Tillard.
My buddy from play school.
Childhood favorites. Okay, what was your favorite cartoon?
Ooh, cartoon. Off the top of my head, I would have to say DuckTales.
DuckTales.
Yeah, it's probably a toss-up between DuckTales or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Heroes in a half shell,
turtle power. That's a good one. All right, what about favorite movie?
Favorite movie of all time?
No, just childhood movie. Like favorite movie growing up.
Childhood movie? Let me think. I'm kind of an 80s nerd, so I'd have to say probably Goonies.
Yep.
I love you, Chuck.
Goonies is up there for me.
Yeah, we shot a Goonies video. You filmed that one.
Yeah, which one was that?
That's the one we were in Tacoma, and I was by that statue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're off topic. What about favorite cereal? I know you eat cereal. What was your favorite childhood cereal?
Favorite childhood cereal? I'd have to say probably Corn Pops.
Mm-hmm. Gotta have your pops. Favorite athlete growing up?
If we're talking just in general, probably Michael Jordan. I grew up in the Jordan era.
Believe it.
I definitely enjoyed watching The Last Dance.
And you probably had WGN, so anytime there was a Bulls game, you got to watch it.
Yep, for sure.
What about favorite toy?
Ooh, favorite toy. I don't know. I wasn't much of a toy guy. I was into the sports. So probably a glove.
Mm. I'll edit that out. That's
I know. That sounds nerdy, but
yeah. Go inside one time. God.
Yeah, I didn't. I was outside doing stuff.
Yeah.
Rollerblades.
There you go. That counts.
Yeah.
I mean, athletic equipment does count. Yeah.
Yeah, we played a lot of street hockey, so probably that's rollerblades.
Yeah, Mighty Ducks forever. What about favorite video game?
Ooh, I was kind of a Metroid guy.
Awesome game.
Metroid or Double Dare, because I played with my brother.
Double Dragon?
Double Dragon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You said Double Dare, I think. which was my next question. Favorite kids game show.
Contra and Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Favorite snack?
Probably Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. And you ever look at the back, like the nutrition facts of a Pop-Tart?
Oh, yeah. It's like 170 carbs.
Yeah. Can't do it. Can't do it anymore. Yeah. I can't do it. All right. Last one on childhood favorites. What is your favorite Saved by the Bell episode?
Oof. most iconic is probably the one where Jesse freaks out, but
yeah.
Let's see. Didn't they kidnap the mascot?
Yeah.
Wasn't there one where Screech got kidnapped?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was probably that one.
Well, why was that one your favorite? If you don't remember.
It had a lot of Screech in it.
Big Screech guy. Aaron Hoback, dude, thank you for being on my podcast. It was months in the making and finally got you on. I just want to say thank you for all the times that you kept me sane and kept me healthy on the field. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you were probably one of the easiest athletes to work with. I'll give you that. Just a bottle of ibuprofen and some hand sanitizer. I mean, I think you were ahead of your time with the hand sanitizer thing.
People thought I was crazy.
That was when I was doing my ordering. That was the only thing I ever had to get for you was a hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Well, my dad told me years ago, the only piece of advice my dad gave me right before I went to go fly on a plane to Arizona to go to extended spring training with the Milwaukee Brewers. Getting on a plane, he didn't say, I love you, you know, or good luck, you know, that you would think the typical dad. He told me to be nice to the clubbies and stay out of the training room.
Yep.
And what he was saying was be nice to the clubby, respect everybody. And don't be the guy that has a hangnail or whatever and is in the training room getting looked at. Now, I didn't listen to him because I was always in the training room, but I, but it wasn't because I was hurt or injured. It was because I was getting to know my friends and, of course, shooting videos.
Well, I'm just saying I put the bar pretty high with the most videos, most appearances in videos. So,
yeah,
just saying.
You're double digits ahead of Nate Orff, who's second.
Nice.
Well, I'll let you go, Red. Take care, man.
All right. Later.
You can follow A.A. Ron and all of his adventures on Instagram and Twitter. And that'll do it for this episode of the Inner Monologue of Dim Tillard, because I can't think of anything else to say or share. So there you go. But we have sponsors. This episode was sponsored by the Smacker Baseball Bat Company. That's right, I'm a pitcher and usually I try to avoid bats as much as possible, but Smacker Bats is one of the best and the highest quality. Uniquely handcrafted bats, perfect for all levels from professionals to youth, and even bats for the vintage baseball player. Go to smackerbats.com and customize your perfect bat by wood type, handle, length, paint, stain, stripping, and always with free engraving. That's smackerbats.com. We don't talk smack. We handcrafted. That was pretty good. Man, I should be voiceover for like billboards or something. I don't think that's a thing. Anyway. Oh, yeah. And be sure to follow me on social media for your chance to win one of my awesome Dim Pod giveaways. Yeah, that's right. I'm bribing you so that you will follow me and share this podcast with someone you love or just with someone you kind of dislike a little. And with that, thanks for listening to the number one most unneeded podcast, The Inner Monologue of Dim Tillard.
If you see me in person, please leave me be.